This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Friday, January 28th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air on the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. On Fridays, we always remember the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Friday is also the traditional day dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Once again, I want to encourage you, if you can, just spend a few minutes, a few moments in front of the Blessed Sacrament, meditating on the passion of our blessed Lord Jesus today. I want to bring in Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what are some of the stories that we should be watching this morning?
John, the latest on the Russia-Ukraine situation, the Ukrainian leadership kind of downplaying the fact that over 100,000 troops are massed along the border and could attack at any given time. But President Biden warning the leaders of Ukraine to be ready, to be ready. Part of the U.S. response, of course, would be sanctions and to what degree those would come into effect. And counter moves by Russia could include shutting off the flow of natural gas to parts of Europe and jacking up the price of oil around the world as well, although some wonder how much that would actually hurt the Russians themselves if they do that. So much of their income as a country dependent on those natural resources being exported. And on a lighter note, well, we've got football this weekend, and one can only hope, John, it's half as good as it was last weekend, that divisional round. Quite amazing. We had a beautiful chance earlier in the show today to talk to the chaplain of the Kansas City Chiefs, Father Richard Rocha. His reaction to the game last weekend.
People probably had more, but from a coaching standpoint and as a player, one of the best games I'd ever witnessed.
So almost a heart attack a couple times for him, but he tries to get the players to focus on what really is most important.
The job of an NFL chaplain is to bring Christ to these young men. I've always said that football will go away one day, but we've got to embrace God Most High.
Oh, amen to that, John. The Chiefs will host the Cincinnati Bengals in the other game this weekend to decide who gets to go to the Super Bowl. The LA Rams hosting the San Francisco 49ers.
That would be Super Bowl 56 with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line in both of these games. It was a real blessing, Glenn, to be able to chat this morning earlier in the first hour with Father Richard Rocha. What a great spiritual leader, and I know he's passionate about football, and the good Lord has given him an opportunity to combine his love of the game of football, and he's also the chaplain for the Kansas City Royals as well, so he obviously loves baseball too, but to combine that love of sports with our Lord Jesus Christ and bringing the sacraments and mass to so many players. It was just a blessing. If any of you missed our conversation with Father Rocha in the first hour, a little bit later on we'll have the podcast available. You can always go back and listen to the Morning Air podcast at relevantradio.com or on our Relevant Radio app. Glenn, thanks so much. We'll be keeping an eye on the playoff situation this weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely, John. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. We begin every show and every hour giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on the show when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ promised before he ascended into heaven that he would be with us always. Jesus is always present to us now and forever. He has no reason to change because he is God in the flesh. He cannot change. Even though we live in a world that is always changing, it's constantly changing and eventually will pass away, the Word made flesh, Jesus the Lord, will never change, and he's always with us through the Holy Spirit and especially in the Holy Eucharist. And we pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now I want to switch gears and talk about something that I find absolutely shocking and totally unacceptable. Last week, on the eve of the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C., an activist group, a so-called group called Catholics for Choice, projected a huge pro-choice message on the side of the 329-foot bell tower of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Pro-life Catholic leaders reacted with shock and disgust, including Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone of San Francisco, who tweeted, quote, "The attempted desecration is enormous, diabolical." Joining us now for much more perspective on this vandalism by Catholics for Choice is our regular contributor, Mary Helen Fiorito. Mary's an attorney, public speaker, commentator on issues involving Catholic Church teachings, administration, and religious freedom. She holds the position of the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you.
Great, John. Good morning. Nice to be back.
Mary, I find this story just so disturbing. Can you explain to us exactly what happened in our nation's capital last weekend at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception?
Well, the night before the March for Life each year, there's a huge Mass and all-night Eucharistic adoration at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, as you mentioned, in the northeast section of Washington, D.C., near Catholic University. And this Mass, I mean, many of your listeners, I'm sure, have attended. If you haven't, put it on your Catholic bucket list, because it is one of the most beautiful liturgies you'll ever attend. Bishops and archbishops and cardinals from all over the country attend. It is packed, and about half of the basilica is filled with young people. Many stay up all night long praying in adoration before they head out to breakfast and then to the March for Life. So it is a prayerful gathering. It's a joyful gathering in many ways, and it was particularly so this year. But it's also, you know, as I mentioned, it's a very sort of sacred gathering with adoration following, with Holy Mass, with people, you know, really deep in prayer. And, you know, in a beautiful building, our nation's national shrine, a consecrated building, and one that's very important to Catholics nationally. And so while Mass was going on, a pro-abortion group called Catholics for Choice, they're very oddly named, ironically named as well, but they stood outside with a projector, and on the sides of the church and over the portal of the church at one point projected pro-abortion slogans. For example, things like one in every four women who have abortions are Catholic. Pro-choice Catholics, you are not alone. And there was really only one person who sort of, you know, went over and spoke to them and kind of interacted with them, and everyone else was inside the cathedral. But the response was swift, and I was glad to see it swift, and it was very direct, telling Catholics for Choice, you know, Archbishop Wilton Gregory, Cardinal Wilton Gregory, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., released almost immediately a beautiful statement that was very hard-hitting and said, it's very clear that the real Catholics were inside the church that night, and those who were outside the church, both literally and figuratively, so they were standing outside the church, and they are outside the church in terms of their beliefs and their actions, And it was night, he said. And, of course, that is a reference to at the time of the Passion that Judas went out to betray the Lord. And, it's one of the most kind of potent short lines in Scripture. It was night. So not having to be willing to, do your deeds in the broad daylight, they have to go out and do it at night. So it was a very shocking thing to do. I mean, even for Catholics for Choice, who are known, for not being having the best manners, if you will, but they really did this in a very provocative way. They had to backtrack very quickly, it seems to me at least, saying that, it wasn't desecration. It was, they were just projecting facts. Well, first of all, the fact that they state that 1 in 4 Catholic women have abortions, A, where are they getting that figure, and B, how are they defining Catholics? As well as I do, we both know people who have been baptized Catholic but have been maybe in a church 3 or 4 times since then. But, when Planned Parenthood takes down the statistical information for women who go into its clinics to have abortion, they ask your religion, but somebody who was baptized will say, well, yeah, I guess I'm Catholic, and they would put that down. They're not distinguishing between people who have actually been taught the Catholic faith, for starters, and who live by that Catholic faith. And if you took that number, it would be a very, very, very small number. I mean, we just know that statistically, and we've looked into all these studies. So it wasn't a fact. It was a lie. But then secondly, as I put it, I said this on Twitter, it's 21st century graffiti. That's what that is. The fact that it was temporary graffiti doesn't make it any less graffiti. And that is a building consecrated unto the Lord. And to project graffiti onto the Lord's house during a mass and adoration, I can't think of anything more. I mean, well, I guess I can think of all sorts of things that are equally horrible, but you can't pretend that we were just trying to share information, which is kind of the line that they're taking now. And a couple of days later in New York, it was either a copycat crime or perhaps they were Catholics for Choice were involved in it. They're not taking credit for it. But outside of New York City church, there was a prayer vigil in New York City a few days later where Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, was celebrating Mass. There were again projections onto the church, but this time with really even more shocking messages, things like God loves abortion, and they were screaming and cursing at the people going in for the Mass. I mean, including elderly people and young children. So that was equally shocking. So I hope we don't see a continuation of what Catholics for Choice started, because, make no mistake about it. They claim it couldn't have been graffiti because it wasn't permanently attached to the building. I say no. This was just a simple 21st century kind of graffiti.
Mary, I know that you were planning on being in Washington, D.C. Were you actually there at the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception?
No, actually I was not, because I had another engagement for a pro-life congressional candidate that I had committed to. So it's one of the first years I've gone to the march in all the 25 years I've gone that I've not been there. But I've been there so many times, I can tell you exactly what the inside would have looked like. But many of my friends had gone that night. And, you come out and you're so hopeful that the Lord is with you, and that you're going to go out tomorrow in the morning to witness to the unborn, and then you see this. I mean, but isn't that just so typical of the work of the devil, who tries to steal your joy, right? And that's exactly what this is. Again, just shocking, and it's disrespect for the Lord's house. And, this is something I think as Catholics, it's always good to have a reminder about this. This is why we don't, you don't bring food into church, you don't chat, those buildings are consecrated. And because of that, they deserve a certain type of respect from a person who is walking into it. It's why men remove their hats when they walk into a church. And, again, to try to provoke Catholics, I don't know what their end game was. They wanted people to argue with them, or they simply wanted to keep spreading misinformation like they did with their 1 in 4 Catholics, 1 in 4 women who have abortions are Catholics. I don't know. In the one sense, you don't want to give them any oxygen or overstate, their importance, because in the greater scheme of things, they're not. But by the same token, you kind of look at them with, like, it's kind of a pathetic thing, right? They're almost like toddlers screaming for attention, because, frankly, in the Catholic community, nobody except for maybe 1 or 2 far-left media outlets give them the time of day. And so I think they're looking to make themselves relevant as we approach the Dobbs versus Jackson decision, which will probably be handed down by the court in June.
Mary, you mentioned the reaction, the immediate reaction of Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Wilton Gregory, but Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco also had a reaction right away, tweeting about the situation. The attempted desecration is enormous, diabolical. Mother Mary, pray for them now and at the hour of death. Amen. Strong tweet from Archbishop Corleone.
Yes, yes, and I think he's absolutely right. It is diabolical. Anything that would attempt to desecrate or deface the house of the Lord is diabolical by definition. And again, between that, the statement from Cardinal Gregory, you know, saying the true voice of the Church was only found within the Basilica last evening, and those who are you know, against the Church were outside in the dark. And, you know, he called it a prank, you know, saying it was external to the Church. I think that just shows you the kind of juvenile tactics that Catholics for Choice and groups like it tend to take. But beyond that, you know, it was a form of desecration. I think we need to look into laws that protect people while they are worshiping, whether or not they know what's going on. You know, do they have to be conscious of the fact that someone's standing outside doing this to their church while they're inside praying in order for it to be a violation of your right to gather with your fellow Catholics and pray? I really think we need to look into this because, interestingly enough, there was this, then there was the event in New York a couple of days later, again, where it was much more vile and vulgar. But there have been, since May of 2020, documented instances of at least 114 acts of arson, vandalism, and desecration against Catholicism and Catholics in 29 different states. Statues defaced. I think it was in Virginia just a couple of nights ago. They had a beautiful statue of Our Lady that was completely destroyed, and the parish is going to have to, you know, replace it. So just since May of 2020, we've seen a rapid increase in the number of very violent acts of vandalism against Catholic houses of worship and against symbols of Catholic Catholicism that, you know, surround our parish buildings and schools. So it's... I hope this is just not one of a growing trend of things that will be done to Catholics. I think as we, you know, as Archbishop Corleone said, this is diabolical. And as Roe gets closer and closer to being overturned, I think you're going to see the devil get angrier and angrier, which is why we're seeing these kinds of acts of violence and vandalism. And these people who are doing them, you know, may be doing it as a joke or a prank, or at least that's what they tell themselves, but they're actually really engaging in very evil behavior.
Absolutely. Why do you think, Mary, that there has been so much hate in the last couple of years against the Catholic faith and also the pro-life movement? I mean, to see churches being burnt down, statues being toppled over, I mean, and like you said, over 100 times, I mean, it's quite alarming. You talk about hate crimes. Imagine if this was going on in a mosque. Or in a synagogue, outrage there would be in the media.
Yeah, as there should be, because when any particular faith is targeted and people's houses of worship are targeted, Americans need to, in unity, stand up and say no. Our First Amendment protects the rights of any American, no matter what their faith is, to worship as they see fit. And you cannot come with your, you know, either your spray cans or your spray projectors and disrupt our worship and, you know, attempt to intimidate people. In some cases, at least in New York, as people were going into the church, vile things were being said to them and sworn at them. But, you know, to kind of get back to your... I think your initial point is that I think because the Catholic Church is so closely identified with the pro-life cause, we have always been among the first to speak out for the unborn and to speak out against abortion. That's why we are the biggest targets, literally and figuratively, because when Roe is overturned, that is in large part due to, first of all, the prayers, but also the witness and the action of Catholics, both clergy and religious and also lay people, over the last 49 years that we've had legal abortion in this country.
despite this vandalism at the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, the following day, it was a glorious March for Life. Over 150,000 people, the majority of them young people. I am the post-Roe generation, said so many of the signs. Mary, just a quick thought on your experience at this historic March for Life.
It was amazing. It was very cold, but you could feel the warmth in the air just from the joy of the protesters. I always look for the fun signs, right? I am the post-Row generation, but there was a really funny one I saw. A girl had handmade that said, "Bye, Row." It was really cute. But people really feeling now, finally, we're going to be heard. Just people as far as the eye could see, joy, just a lot of camaraderie. It was, and so many young people. What a joy to see this and to finally think that now, this is the only march in the country, John, that where people go not to march for themselves, not to march for a right for themselves, not so that they can obtain something. It's the only march in the country where everyone goes for somebody else. And it's somebody else they can't see, they may never meet. But it's all of those voices together for unborn children who need an advocate, who don't have voices for themselves. No one's there for themselves. They're there for other people, which I think makes this, of all the, human rights issues and civil rights issues, this is one that stands out because of that. No one's looking out for themselves. They're looking out for others.
And we all, people of life, prayerfully pray for the justices on the Supreme Court and their decision that we're expecting in June. On a separate note, real quickly, President Biden is going to nominate a black woman by the end of February to replace the retiring Supreme Court Justice Breyer. Your reaction, and what does this mean for the pro-life movement?
Well, he has promised to, first of all, nominate a black woman for the Supreme Court, and then, secondly, to nominate someone whose views are in line with his own. So it is likely going to be someone who would be in the mold of a Justice Breyer, who would be, very much to the left of center judicially. Right now, in terms of the abortion issue, the majority of the court holds positions that maintain that there is no right to abortion found in the United States Constitution. It'll be interesting to see, the U.S. Senate is divided 50-50 equally between Democrats and Republicans. And so I think for the president's own sake, nominating someone who was more center, as the Senate is reflected in the American people's votes, would be best and most reflective of what the country would likely want and support. But, I think he is beholden to, first of all, people in the abortion industry who poured millions and millions out into his presidential campaign. So we'll see. I can't imagine anyone being nominated who has not, in her judicial record, supported abortion, probably like Roe does up until the moment of birth.
Well, Mary, as always, appreciate your insights. Really, it's really good to give some perspective to this vandalism that our faith experienced last weekend in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, John, and I'll look forward to being with you again next week.
Attorney and pro-life leader Mary Helen Fiorito has been with us. You can always find her on Twitter at Mary Fiorito. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by theologian Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio to discuss his outstanding study series on Rediscovering Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. And welcome back to Morning Air on the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest theologians of all time, the great doctor of the church who wrote that beautiful hymn, Tantum Ergo. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverenz. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. Again, our number if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. Now, last year in 2021, we celebrated the year of St. Joseph. This year, we're doing something very special here at Relevant Radio by spending a year celebrating Our Lady with miracles, mysteries, and Mary. We're exploring our Blessed Mother Mary's intercession in human history and in our lives every day. You can grow in your faith, in knowledge, and devotion through these lessons from our Blessed Mother. Miracles, Mysteries, and Mary, it's totally free to receive these email series and gain access to the exclusive content. All you have to do is sign up today at relevantradio.com/Mary. That's relevantradio.com/Mary. Now, as you've heard me say so many times here on Morning Air, and as it's been said on the network, our mission here at Relevant Radio is very simple: bringing Christ to the world through the media. That's what it's all about, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is much more than a historical or a theological figure. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, and our God. Many of us already know a lot about him, but how well can we say that we really know Jesus? Joining us now is Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, the author of Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life book and study program. Known on the radio and on television as Dr. Italy, Dr. Marcelino is a theologian, international speaker, and author of several best-selling books. He's also a professor at Catholic Distance University, and he directs the Crossroads Initiative. Good morning, Dr. Marcelino. Welcome back to the show. Great to be with you once again.
Yeah, it's always great to be with you. It's good to be back for sure.
My question to you, how is your outstanding series, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, how is it going? It's been out now for a while.
It's going extraordinarily well. People all around the world have watched the videos, have read the book, have worked in study groups, and have had their lives changed, really. So we're just getting amazing testimonies, not just here from the United States, but from overseas as well. So it's been an awesome success despite the pandemic and the way it was supposed to come out right at the beginning of the pandemic, and that really messed things up quite a bit, but nonetheless it's just done amazingly well.
Well, this is what it's all about, getting to know the real Jesus, the person of Jesus, the divine person Jesus. We can never know Jesus enough. There's so much of his life that we can learn from. It's overwhelming at times when you think about it. What are some of the things that is common that most people know about Jesus, but they take for granted?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that all of us have seen pictures on the wall. We have crucifixes on our walls. We have stories that have been told as Bible stories since we were little. And so we just have this idea that we know about Jesus. What we really want to know about is some of the stuff about the papacy and about the Eucharist, which, of course, is about Jesus, and about this and about that, and all the things that are in the Catholic faith that many people don't have or don't know much about. And the point really is that every single thing in our faith connects to him. It flows from him. It leads back to him. And we actually have, there's a certain kind of familiarity that we think we have with the Lord that masks the fact that we just don't know him as deeply as we think. And the thing is, he happens to be God, and so there is no end to the depths of who he is and what he can do in our lives. And that means that we really need to be on a constant journey. The apostles, you know, when Jesus called them, they dropped everything, and they were on a constant 3-year journey. My friend Edward Shree, who's on the series, says it was like being on a 3-year camping trip, a 3-year hike. They were moving constantly, and they're constantly amazed at what they were learning. Jesus was blowing their minds all the time. He was changing things up. He was. Their expectations were one thing, and what he did was completely different. Well, honestly, our whole life is supposed to be that adventure of discipleship, and I think that's something that's conveyed in this series. I think when people come to the series and they come with us through the Holy Land, whether they just read the book or watch the videos and do the study in a group, doesn't matter. This study will take you deeper into his heart and start the journey again. You know, if we're kind of stagnant, a lot of times we tend to get in ruts. we're just maintaining, fighting to maintain our Christian life. This will help us advance and move forward in our knowledge of Him, head knowledge, but more importantly, heart knowledge of a real intimacy and familiarity with Him.
Because, Dr. Marcelino, there's obviously a big difference between knowing a bunch of facts about Jesus and statistics and even be able to quote things that he said and knowing the actual person of Jesus the Lord and knowing his entire life.
Yeah, you know, our friends in the evangelical world, our evangelical Protestant brothers and sisters, they really focus heavily on the fact that it's all about an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's what it's about. Well, that's thoroughly Catholic. And in fact, the Eucharist is the most intimate encounter with Him we can imagine. He really does want our mind to participate in that intimate encounter. He wants us to get to know Him, and He wants to really impart insight. Like the words that we use about Him, Messiah, Christ, Lord, they mean a whole lot more than we think they mean. And so this series kind of unpacks that. His relationship with not only his mother, but his foster father, St. Joseph, is something that we really don't know much about, we think. But honestly, this book helps you understand the intimacy of Jesus with Joseph and the impact Joseph had in his life and how that what that says to us about fatherhood and teaching and mentoring. Because Jesus was a discipler, he was a mentor. Well, he was first mentored by Mary and Joseph in a special way, because in the Jewish world, men prayed together, women prayed together. The prayers were different. So Joseph was kind of Jesus in his humanity, in his sacred humanity, his mentor. So his heavenly father chose this earthly foster father very, very carefully for Jesus. And this year of St. Joseph we just had, that's not meant to be forgotten now. We need to deepen our intimacy with Jesus through Mary and St. Joseph.
We're joined this morning by an old friend, Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, Catholic author, speaker, university professor. We're talking about his outstanding book series, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Dr. Marcelino, you mentioned the importance of having that intimate relationship with our Lord, which we as Catholics, of course, have in the Holy Eucharist, something that our Protestant and evangelical friends always talk about. But today we're celebrating St. Thomas Aquinas, who also once said that the essence of the spiritual life is friendship with God. I mean, this is what it's really all about, getting to know the Lord Jesus, who is God.
Yeah, and you know, we're his servants for sure. And I think there's been in the church a great re-emphasis on not being casual on our relationship with the Lord, but having a sense of reverence and awe, and that's absolutely good. But it's really important to understand that he said, I don't call you servants any longer, I call you friends. That was something he said in the Last Supper discourse. And friendship means a real intimacy with him. We're not just simply following orders, but he wants to share his heart with us. He wants to share his father with us, his mother with us. He wants to share his body and blood with us. He wants to share everything with us. And that is just a privilege that he's invited us to that intimacy. To stay back and not follow him into that intimate relationship is really, you know, sad. And we're losing out. And in a certain way, the Lord really wants that intimacy. So, you know, we're denying him the gift of our hearts. So anyway, this series, we're disciples. The guys who are doing this series are people who had their lives changed. We used to believe in Jesus in a certain way in our lives and really came to know him dramatically and began a journey. And we share that own journey, and we're speaking out of that journey. The videos have Ted Sri, Jeff Cavins, and I beginning each session. And then Jeff and I walk through the places we're talking about in the Holy Land so people really get a sense of that. I'm going to the Holy Land soon in April, and people who are listening here, we have a few more places left. You can come to DrItaly.com and hear and find out about that trip and sign up. But you can also go to AscensionPress.com/Jesus. That's AscensionPress.com/Jesus. You can see a sample of the video from the series. You can see a trailer. You can, you know, order the series yourself. Stream it. You can just read the book if that's what you want to do. But so the resource is a very flexible project that, that everybody can be part of. And in fact, the book is designed so you can read it and give it away to somebody you want to share Jesus with.
Dr. Marcelino, I think that Scripture is such a great tool for us. We have 2,000 years of meditating on sacred Scripture to get to know the real person of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I think about how many people aren't even aware of all the many, many names of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred Scripture.
Absolutely. You know, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, said St. Jerome. So we're going through the four Gospels here. And actually, in the workbook of this study, which is a really amazing resource, every single title of the New Testament that, for our Lord Jesus is laid out for people. So we have a couple of pages where you can actually just pray over the various titles of Jesus, all the miracles of Jesus, the parables of Jesus. You know, these are listed. And it's funny, and in the Catholic world, there aren't many places to find all that. So those things are great resources for Bible study. And this really is a very enjoyable, easy-to-do study of the four Gospels.
We need to take a little break. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio on the importance of knowing the person of Jesus, having that intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, the author of Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life book and study program, and the director of the Crossroads Initiative. Much more to come on the other side.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Every day is a brand new morning since the morning you moved in. Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friends. You got to love it. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us this morning. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're talking about the importance of knowing the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're joined this morning as we continue our conversation with Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, Catholic author, speaker, and university professor, and the author of a powerful study on the life of our Lord Jesus Christ called Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Welcome back, Dr. Marcelino.
Hey there, John. It's good to be back.
Doctor, talk to us about the experience, the powerful experience of going to the Holy Land, something that you've done so many times. How does going to the Holy Land help you to grow in your faith, to really understand the background, the scene where our Lord Jesus walked on the earth?
Well, one thing I just want to say is I started reading the Bible seriously when I was 16. I got a master's degree and then a PhD in theology. And so a lot of scripture study, but you know what? A lot of prayer, you know, a lot of following Jesus. Going to the first time to the Holy Land blew my mind. In the Garden of Gethsemane, I just could not believe he was here. He wept. He bled for me here. He sweated for me here. He said yes here. You know, it's just kind of a mind blower. And there's so many things in scripture that we've heard a million times that I never really got. I never understood how olive trees really worked. Like, I grew up in the North. We don't have olive trees in New England where I grew up. You know, so olive trees never die. If you can cut them down, a shoot will sprout out from the thing. And so the trees in the Garden of Gethsemane are actually, the rootstock goes back to before the time of Jesus, if you can believe that. And the trunks are like, you know, 500, some of them are 500, 600, 700 years old. But, you know, that a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. That metaphor, you know, in Scripture just all of a sudden becomes clear to me. You know, the dynasty of David is destroyed. They seem to have no hope. But the Lord promises that this shoot will sprout, and he happens to be Jesus. Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You know, it's just a kind of an amazing thing. All these little things, you know, like, wow. It was a million wows sailing on the Sea of Galilee. It looks, when you look out from the boat, it looks like it did in the time of Jesus. there's no high rises up in the northern part of the Lake Sea of Galilee. You know, it just looks like what they would have seen. So it's just like amazing. All these things just made it so much more real for me. And we try to convey that in this study, the videos. If people get the videos, which they can get streaming very, very reasonably online, or they can buy a DVD. But the videos really make you feel like you're there. And the footage is spectacular. It really is. I've gone back, like you said, 30 times, and every time I go, I get new insight. The Lord touches me in a different way, in a different place, while I'm there. So it's just highly recommended if people can go. We'd love to have you come with us. Jeff Cavins would love to have you go with him. You know, whatever. Dr. Sri goes, the three of us take separate pilgrimages and lead people over there all the time because it's such a life changer.
Well, Dr. Marcelino, as Catholics, obviously we have Sacred Scripture, but we also have the Holy Rosary, which has been described as the prayer of the gospel. How does going to the Holy Land help make praying the Rosary and all the different mysteries really come to life for us as Catholics?
Well, you know, when I lead a Holy Land trip, we use what's called the Scriptural Rosary, which I highly recommend. It's a beautiful little aid that puts a scripture text between each Hail Mary, so it keeps your mind on the mysteries. So, but anyway, we pray each decade of that scriptural rosary in the place where it happened, in the Holy Land. So the rosary is very much part of our walk through the land. And honestly, going to Nazareth and Bethlehem are the places, to me, that are the original Marian sites. We really get to know Mary. And in Jerusalem, her birthplace is the home of her parents, Joachim and Anne. There's a church built over that, and we visit that church. We go down into the cave where Mary was born. So we feel we really do ponder these things in our hearts together with our Blessed Mother. And intimacy with Jesus really does mean also intimacy with his mom, who he makes our mom, and she's our mom because we're members of his body. We're his brothers and sisters, so that's pretty amazing. I think that really comes home in the Holy Land.
I imagine that after being at some of these incredible places in the Holy Land, I mean, to be at the place where Jesus was crucified at Golgotha, to be where he was buried, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, just to be in these places, when you read Sacred Scripture, it just has to come alive for you, and it comes alive for all of us who have an opportunity to either go there in person or participate through your incredible and powerful study program.
Yeah, the videos are really a virtual pilgrimage, and people who have gone have been tremendously blessed by it, but it's certainly people who have not been able to go yet have been blessed by it. And I just want to say, John, that the book is a resource in and of itself. So there are many people who will never sit down and do an organized study. They just don't have time with study questions and study groups. But I think everybody can listen to a book. You can listen to this book on Audible. You can read it on Kindle on your phone, or you can get a paperback copy from Ascension Press. Either way, I think everybody can benefit tremendously, even without the visuals of this study.
The book is called Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Dr. Marcelino, in the moments that we have left, just a real brief recap of what some of the things that you cover in the book. There's 19 chapters, so there's a lot of in-depth knowledge to be gained about our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we start with the beginning, the background of the Jewish world and the Roman world, and the conflict that was brewing between them right there, and then at the stage of history upon which Jesus stepped. We really get to know the story of his birth and all his baptism, his public ministry, what his teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, for example, what they really mean, how to apply them to our lives, how to be a disciple along with James and John and Peter and Andrew, who followed him for 3 years. You know, what does it mean to really be an intimate disciple of Jesus and follow him? And then, of course, the Transfiguration, his final journey to Jerusalem, his suffering, his death, what the Last Supper really means, and what the Eucharist, therefore, really means. And then his glorious resurrection and his sending forth of the disciples to evangelize all nations. You know, we really go through the whole story. And there's a great chart that comes along with the study guide. That's a chart that helps you really visualize the public ministry of Jesus, the story of Jesus, the background of who was ruling at the time. It's all kind of put in this beautiful chart that Ascension Press is famous for these charts. You know, they did the Bible timeline. So we have a Jesus timeline here that's part of the study. So anyway,
I have a copy of it right here in front of me. It is absolutely magnificent. It's very detailed. It is very much like the Bible timeline. My old friend Jeff Cavins, longtime colleague from the early days of Morning Air, when I think of those timelines.
Yes, indeed. And so Jeff's intimately involved in this whole project. So, yeah, we tried to bring together the three of us who are have different ministries and different kinds of strengths. We kind of combined them all for this study. So yeah, you get all three of us, and more importantly, you get the one who is our master, Jesus. And that's really kind of the point here. We you know, in preparing to do this, we read the three volumes of Pope Benedict on Jesus. We read some of the great classics of the last 100 years on Jesus, as well as the four Gospels, you know, Fulton Sheen, and many others. Yeah, so anyway, this really brings you a synthesis, kind of a distillation of all that great stuff in the Catholic tradition on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Dr. Marcelino, we have about a little over a minute left. Your final thoughts. We have so many incredible treasures in our Catholic faith. You've mentioned the Holy Eucharist, our Blessed Mother, the saints, the full deposit of faith, but it all comes down to one central figure, our Lord Jesus Christ. Final word.
Absolutely. We really need to center our lives on Him, and that's really what the book is about. It's about making Him not just a part of your life, but the center of your life. And that opens up really so much. It opens up all the treasuries of God, because He is our treasure. And so the deposit of the faith really is, it's just all about unpacking Him, and that's what this series does.
Real quickly, once again, where our listeners can find your outstanding and powerful program.
Yeah, they can find it at ascensionpress.com/Jesus. And they can get actually a free video sample. They can watch the first session there. And they can go to dritaly.com. That's dritaly.com. And that'll help give them the opportunity to come to the Holy Land with me and get other resources in the life of Jesus that we make available free on that website, dritaly.com. So, yeah, ascensionpress.com/Jesus, dritaly.com.
Dr. Marcelino, it's been a joy, as always. Thanks so much for being with us.
A pleasure indeed.
Many blessings. Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, the author of Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. It's now time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Time Well Spent. It's by Cassie Shaw from Love What Matters. I don't want to look back someday and wonder where all the years have gone. I want to have a million memories to show me. The years that went to dinosaur battles and princess parties. They went to water fights, ball games, long talks and school plays. They went to road trips and summer nights catching fireflies. They went to teachable moments and buckets of tears, to healing laughter and love. And when my kids look back, I want them to know I was paying attention. I want them to know how happy they made me. I want them to know I was endlessly proud. And I hope they'll see, more than anything, that it was love that kept us going. From Psalm 127:3, this reminder, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him.
Yes, they are. Thanks so much, Glenn. You can always download any of Glenn's Story Corners or listen to any segment of our shows or any one of our Morning Air podcasts on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. You can also send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. And so that'll do it for this Friday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, producers Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you next time on Morning Air. Have a great, great weekend. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.